Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, and welcome to Wannabe, the podcast that takes you from where you are now to where you want to be in 30 minutes or less. I'm Imrielle Morgan, founder of Content is Queen, a podcast agency and community for ambitious podcasters. Thank you so much for taking the time to be here. Wannabe's focus is to help you take consistent action to build a successful life and career in the creative and entertainment industries. I pulled together this season just before my baby girl arrived and changed my entire world. As always, I let my curiosity lead the way when curating these conversations. This season is no different. But this time, I speak to mums who continue to level up their careers after the babies have arrived. I can assure you that while every guest is a parent, this isn't a parenting podcast. So expect the same great practical steps to elevate your career. Before we get to our incredible guest, just a quick note for any aspiring or current podcasters listening. If you are looking for a cozy and affordable professional studio space, or perhaps you want some free resources and insights and tips and tricks to grow your podcast, head on over to contentisqueen.org where you can find out how you can level up your podcast today. All right, let me get to this guest. Jams Supernova. I've been following Jams for a few years and I have had the absolute pleasure to watch her evolve and elevate her career in so many different ways. Jams Supernova made a name for herself on BBC Radio 1 Extra and as of late Radio 6 Music. Jams is also a presenter, a label head, a journalist, a podcast host and an AR scout. Like, she is really out here doing the damn thing and you will hear all about it, trust me. In today's episode, Jams will teach you the importance of making space for your passion. She shares how she's funded her career as a DJ and kept up with the trends in her industry, which honestly seemed to just change all the time. I did not know that about DJing, but here we are. Jams also describes how she allows her curiosity to drive her career. Let's get into it. Who did you want to be before you became who you are today and why?
I think at the beginning was any kind of presenter, like a TV presenter, you know, like Angelica Bell or Makita Oliver or June Sarpong or any of that era.
Yeah.
And then I guess who I am has gone a lot more down the specialist music route and music being more at the forefront than my personality being more at the forefront. I think that's kind of who I am now.
That's so interesting, though. They're all such great presenters. And that definitely was the era of black and mixed women being actually on TV screens. Where are they now? But how did music get involved? Where did that come from? And when did you realise that it was going to be the thing that carried you forward?
Well, I think I was always into music. That's just what I did, was look for music, find music, be interested in new music. But I didn't know if there was a job doing that, or it wasn't really on my radar that there would be a job in that. I didn't really see any DJs that sort of resembled me or looked like me. Mm-hmm. And it felt like DJing felt like really hard to get into. Like, if you couldn't afford decks or you didn't know where to practice, it felt like a bit of an impossible hurdle. But it was when that I got to the Brit school, I went to the Brit school for college.
Cool.
Yeah, it was like a performing arts school for those that don't know. And they had this media course there. And when I went to look around just with a friend, I saw the radio studio. And I was like, okay. So I could have a bit of personality and put the music together. And mm-hmm. the perfect place to do that would be on the radio. So that was at 16. And then that sort of like, yeah, set me on a whole nother path. And I think as well, you mentioned that era, so that specific sort of early 2000s, late 90s era of black and mixed women on the TV. And then it kind of started going backwards a little bit. And not only was it going backwards in terms of diversity, but also the opportunities, like TV wasn't the be all and end all anymore. They were cancelling shows left, right and centre. Like, yeah. I think by the time I got to college, they were looking to wrap up your T4s and your pop world, that whole segment of TV was dying. And I think because YouTube was coming in or cuts, or I don't know, maybe they couldn't see the future at that time. So I was like, well, yeah, actually, I'm going to have to kind of refigure what I want to do.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's all quite divine timing, to be honest.
Yeah, because radio is actually the perfect blend of the things that you say you love, right? It really is like play music, be your personality, and present. I suppose like the biggest difference is that one's visual, one's really not. So do you still have a desire to be like front facing, be a personality on camera, or actually have you found a real love for just being like, no, I'm just the voice behind the mic and the person that puts the music out?
I found a love of being the voice behind the mic, but I feel like now, 15 years on or whatever, I'm ready to be a face on TV, but on my own terms. Because I think then I would have been like, jazz hands, oh my God. Hey guys, welcome to T4 Beach. You know, it's happening, it's a party. You know, whereas now I want to do like serious music journalism, or kind of like your Jules Hollands. I think there's a niche that I want to be, and I want to be part of the producing of it. You know, before I would just been happy just to turn up and go into hair and makeup and come out and read a script. But, you know, I want to be part of producing the show and booking people and, you know, how it looks and how it comes out. So I think I've got a lot more kind of knowledge and understanding now of who I am to be able to step in front of that. And I think before, maybe I was trying to be somebody else.
That's a really interesting point. I can't remember who I was speaking to, but they mentioned another presenter. It was Charlotte Tahira, actually. So I was speaking to Charlotte Tahira, who is the person I last spoke to before my baby was born. She was talking about the fact that when she started out, she was like really bubblegum and really trying to be like overly energetic. And actually she was like, that's not authentic to me. Like, I know who my voice is. I know what I'm like. I know how I want to portray myself. And it just took her going on that journey to get to that place. And it sounds quite similar in that regard. Like, you're like, actually, if I had gone that route very early, maybe I would have been presented completely differently. Whereas now I'm grounded in me. Is that right?
Yeah. And it could take a long time, you know, because, you know, to find out who you really are and to be comfortable as you, not just on air or in front of a camera, but just in life, you know, in general life. And I think everything is telling you not to be yourself, whether it's the magazines you read, the films you consume, everybody is telling you that there's this one or maybe a few different versions of how somebody should be. And if you fall kind of outside of that, you know, you have to find friends that are similar to you. You know, it's like a lifelong journey of getting yourself to a position where you're the most comfortable. I went to school in Southeast London in Deptford, and I love school. I had a great time. But I do think there was a lot of me that I suppressed there because it would be seen as weird or like nerdy. And going to the Brit school kind of allowed me to be my full authentic self, because I realized that I'm not even that quirky at all. Like, there are people way more quirky and way more interesting than I am, and they have no problems expressing it. And being in that environment allowed me to really get comfortable with who I was.
I lived around the corner from the Brit School, and it was always a place of great intrigue because I lived in South Norwood and it's in Selhurst, Fortnum.
Yeah, I'm in Selhurst now.
Are you? Oh, no way. Yeah. That's the noobs. It was such a place of intrigue. The school I went to, it was because you'd just hear about the Brit School and loads of kids would be like, I'm going to go to the Brit School. It was a place of real magic and luster, but I only knew it to be like kids that wanted to do acting and kids that wanted to sing. I didn't know that there was this like whole bit in between. So how did you even come to learn about the opportunity of going to the Brit School and the opportunities that it could have presented for you? Because I guess you probably would have learned more whilst you're there, obviously. Like you said, you learn about radio or the opportunities in radio.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't know that they did it like you said. I thought it was like, if you don't sing or you don't dance, then there's nothing for you. But I went with a friend. She was applying. She could sing and she wanted to go and have a look round. She asked me to come with her. Mm. And I realized that it wasn't that far from me on the bus. I was living in Penge, 75 route straight there. Yeah. So I was like, yeah, it works for me. Fine. So I went with her. And we just started looking around, and then literally I just stumbled into the radio studio and I was like, they do a whole media course here. And then I applied, but I would never have known had I have not gone with that friend.
That's nice. That's great. There was something you mentioned early on about DJing not being one super diverse. So you're not seeing the representation you needed to feel like that was an option, but also like the cost or the barrier to entry with that. Tell me about that first deck. Like what did you want to get? What did you end up getting? And what was the journey that you went on when you knew that DJing was something that you kind of could have or wanted to pursue?
Yes. I mean, with the actual physical act of DJing. So I started the radio first, did a lot of radio and kind of really got it sucked into that world. And I didn't actually start learning how to DJ until I was I would say about, it was like 20, 23, I would say. And it was because I had a mentor and he was like, on the radio journey that I was going on, I was getting more and more specialist every year and getting more and more niche. And he was like, you're going to have to learn how to DJ, because if you start getting bookings, people might want you to come and play their parties. And if you can't mix, it's going to be awkward. So you're not going to have the credibility on the radio if you can't have the credibility on the clubs. I mean, it's a little, times have changed, but you had to work on the ground as well to earn the respect. So I was like, oh gosh, I should learn then. Because I really genuinely thought that if, especially as I didn't see many women around me, but I knew boys that DJ, but they've been DJing since they were 15, 14 in their bedroom. And then I just assumed that it was like an acquired skill that if you hadn't learnt it at that age in life, then you're never going to get it. It's too hard. And he just told me, obviously, that's ridiculous. That's stupid. And I remembered then that I had my uncle, my great uncle, sorry, used to be a DJ, and he had these techniques and they were all the way in Birmingham. So basically, I pestered my uncle to go and get them for me. He'd go to my great uncle and get them because they were just under the bed. So he went and got them, brought them down to London for me. He kept them in his house for a while. And then he decided that he would give them to me to have in my house. So I started on those. They were really old. I mean, I've still got them now. I'm going to get them serviced, actually, because I can't wait to get them back out. And they're in perfect condition. They just need a little servicing. But I started on there. I had this Gemini mixer, which is like, I mean, I don't even know what that is. It was in a flight case, a blue flight case. Everything was in the flight case. I've got Serato, so my friend sold me her Serato. So you got the vinyl discs and then you attach it to your laptop and then you can start to mix like that. So that's what I started on. But then when it came to the clubs, they didn't have the, for some reason, like vinyl had fallen very far out of fashion. So we're looking at like, 2013, 2014, then in terms of like your everyday clubs. And when you got there, you'd have to bring your own needles. You didn't know if it was plugged in properly or the earth wires were in. So it was just a stressful way to DJ because you'd just be jumping around all the time. So I told my mentor, Gavin, all these issues. And he was like, well, I've actually got a pair of CDJs that I will sell to you and you can pay me off in installments.
Oh,
so he sold me them, which sounded like a lot of money back then. He sold me them for £400. And I paid him £100 every month.
Good credit arrangement.
Yeah, and they were Pioneers and they were CDJ 1000s Mark II. So then I graduated to Serato CDs and started really learning on those properly. And yeah, and then after that, so I was on those for a good couple of years. Then I decided that those weren't in the clubs anymore by the time that I wasn't like ready enough to play in the clubs. So I was like, oh, I need to upgrade because I don't know what these ones, other ones do. And it's like the iPhone, there's new ones that come out all the time. So then I was like, okay, right, I'm going to need to, and I wanted to move to USBs. I think I was ready at that point to move to USBs. So I basically made a big mistake because I thought that the money that you put aside for your tax, that if you spent it as an expense, then you wouldn't owe the tax man any money.
I'm cracking up, but I do this too.
I mean, it's a valid way of thinking, but that's just not how it works.
No, it's not. No, not even slightly at all.
Yeah. And I spent it. So basically I'd been a year on one extra at this point and I'd saved all my tax money and I had £3,000, which is exactly what I needed to buy these decks. It was the most money that I've ever had in an account that was savings.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh my God, I'm going to buy these decks and it's going to, you know, it's going to wipe out the tax I owe. I will never pay tax. Ha ha ha. And then I bought them and then I've got them there, they're on, I just come off them today. I will never sell them, I'll never get rid of them. They are my absolute babies. Because then about 2 weeks after that, I told my manager at the time, I was like, yeah, Helen, I've got decks, you know, I've got the latest ones now. And I was like, and I did it like this, and she was like, that's not how accounting works. And I just remember the dread and the fear of thinking, oh my God, how am I going to get that £3,000 back? But equally, I'm never going to let go of these decks. So something's got to give. And then here we are. So if I was like down and out my last dime, those decks are coming. They're staying with me.
That's so funny.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah, I run into that same tax loophole. Or not loophole, the thing that you think, I spend it all the time. I still do it and I know better. So I'm just staring.
But it works itself out, doesn't it? It always works itself out in the end.
I just stare at it like, well, I ain't got it, so I guess you're just gonna have to wait until I have it.
I like that.
But no, I feel like listening back to that, one, it's incredible to hear your passion and your love for this and your dedication to committing to learning the craft. But it also just sounds like so incredibly hard. You're learning one skill and then it's like obsolete so quickly. You have to learn something else and have to learn something else. How do you keep the motivation? Like, what is it that keeps the drive going?
It's what you said. It's the love of the craft. I mean, now it's a lot easier and it's a lot more accessible. Like, technology's come a long way in the last sort of 8 years. Like, now you can spend £1,000 and get a miniature version of what is actually in the clubs. So you can at least get the principle down. And then when you get to the clubs, you know, they're just, it's just bigger. That's all. Nothing's that different on it. But I think for me, it was always the craft and learning the craft and learning to mix. And I love mixing. Like, you know, really, I can get lost mixing. And I spent a lot of time in my early 20s when I was learning in my living room on my own mixing. You know, that's how I spend my evenings, and I look back at that time fondly. Yeah, I loved it. So I just love, I love the element of learning, and it's a lifelong thing, but you can hear yourself getting better. Like, there'll always be something else to learn. And always, like, you know, there's like the newest decks now. I'm like, oh, they're so gross. They're so horrible. They're so big. And they're like touchscreen and like, oh, they've ruined it. I will have to get on them at some point. You know, it's unavoidable. I'm going to have to get comfortable with them. But yeah, I just love the skill, the craft, the getting better, the learning new tricks. You know, for me, someone said it to me the other day when I came off, they were like, you play it like it's an instrument. And that's what I've always wanted it to be for me, which is an instrument. And, you know, someone that comes from the vinyl days will always probably be like, oh, it's not the same in my day. Back in my day, you had to use just your ears and you didn't have any screens. But, you know, and now they have touch screens, but it's how you use it, isn't it? It's how am I going to use all these effects? How am I going to use these little cues and these buttons that didn't exist, you know, 30 years ago?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it sounds like you're going to be that person with the touchscreens and all the upgrades.
I'm going to have to be, it's pending.
It's a rite of passage to just be like, I can't deal with that. That's too new.
Yeah, that'll be me. I'll be like, but yeah, back in my day, you had to actually press buttons.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
But I would love to know how, because you recently had a baby, and I would love to know how you're juggling the work you're doing and your big goals and aspirations, especially around moving, being ready for TV and wanting to be involved in TV and production and looking at music journalism as another part or another tool in your tool belt. Like, how has that changed, or has it changed since you've had your daughter?
Yeah, I mean, the juggle is definitely real. I know you've just gone back to work, and and I think we took a similar amount of time off, a sort of 2 month mark. And it's, everything is a logistic. Everything is the diary needs to be like, at this time I'm doing this, at that time I need to do that, at that time I need to do that. But in order for me to do that, I'm going to have to call on the biggest favors ever.
Yeah.
Or I'm going to have to financially take a hit and have childcare, but know that it's in order for me to just to, like, this is the season, just get by. This is the season that I'm in, is the season to get by, because if I do the work that I need to do, the next 2 years could look very different. And I feel like I'm back again, replotting for the longevity. And I think that I had a lot of time to think on my maternity leave. And I think that when I had her, obviously, you know, so much changes, and you change as a person, even the pregnancy, is going through the pregnancy as well. So, like, quite a long process, isn't it?
And
for me, it's like, yes, it is. You know, it's like, yeah, how many months of your, it's a year basically of a transition. I definitely started to think about where and how I want to spend my time. Mm. Like, time is like really, really important. And if I am going to go out to work and not be with her, then it needs to be meaningful. I've got like three things. Like, it either needs to feed my soul, raise my profile, or feed my bank, you know, out of these three things. Like, what is it? Yeah. What's it going to do for me? Yeah. And that's kind of how I weigh up anything that sort of comes in and what I'm doing at this current time as well. And it was really weird, because when I was off with her, So the second month, my partner took it off with me the first month. He works in music and so we both work for ourselves. The second month, he went back to the studio.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my God, you can't leave me. I was like, you can't leave me on my own. What am I going to do? I can't do this. but it was fine. And I was being dramatic because this is literally what people have to do all the time.
Yeah.
And people go back after 2 weeks. So, you know, men sometimes have to go back after 2 weeks. And then we had the month together. It was just me and her. And I started doing like little bits of work that were just, I couldn't help myself.
Yeah.
Like whether it was listening to music, whether it was watching a documentary, whether it was like jotting down ideas. And I just thought, this is just me. What I do is just so innately part of me that you can't just switch it off.
Mm-hmm.
There's not a stop button. And I started having conflicting thoughts like, well, isn't being a mother enough? And then I'd be like, well, no, it's not.
No.
It's not enough. I love it, but it's not enough. But then the mothering aspects that I do and the time that I do put in, like I love that time.
I definitely relate to that. And thank you for sharing that, actually, because like you, I'd be like responding to emails or just checking in. I like what I do, so it didn't feel like work or stress.
It gets easier.
Yeah, I'm going to take that on board because we it is. Like, especially when you work in like entertainment or any creative field, because a lot of us get into it because we love it. I can imagine that actually when it crosses over with parenting, like both things feel like a priority. Like I don't want to lose. My biggest fear with pregnancy was losing my identity or losing myself in motherhood. And yeah. I was like, actually, now I'm out of it and on the other side. And this is not even anything towards people that may have still lost themselves and were creatives. But I think, like, I just don't think I could have lost it. And I haven't. Immediately was just there, like, no, I still have things to do. And I love being your mum, but I think I also love what I do. And I love both things kind of almost equally a little bit, her a bit more.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah. Her in terms of like, what is life? Life is this, you know.
I made you. Blood of my blood. Like,
yeah, exactly. You know, the linear, the legacy lives on, you know, my firstborn. But like in terms of like what gets you, what excites you and the, you know, there's little things that just spark a little bit of joy. It's like, it does come from doing what you love, getting that email and getting that moment that you've been trying to hustle for. Like they're two different feelings. They like completely live in different planets of your being. But being out and about with her, it's been such an incredible, really positive response, because I was a bit worried that in this DJ radio world it could be quite it feels like it can be quite a young person's game. It's not, it doesn't have to be, and there's definitely a lot of examples of it not being that, but sometimes it can be like, who's the new hottest 18-year-old, 20-year-old coming through, you know?
Yeah.
and I felt like maybe if I had a baby, then maybe that would make me like irrelevant. Mm. And then people would see me as old.
Oh, wow.
Which is, you know, again, really, really stupid and ridiculous. But being out and about, the amount of people, when I was DJing pregnant, I'd have young girls being like, I'm like, are you pregnant? Oh, it's so amazing to see you in the club. Oh, it just shows us that, you know, I'm not ready for a baby, but when I am, I'm going to be in the club as well. Like, I've had people say to me like, oh, that's so cool that you brought her. Okay, that makes me feel like, yeah, maybe when I go back to work or, you know, when I'm performing or I'm touring, that I can do that as well. So, yeah, the response has been incredible. So it kind of gives me the confidence to keep on. Like, I went for dinner last night at Shoreditch House and took her with me.
Did you? I
love and, that. Like, she was like a little celebrity walking through. I could see people's eyes. Like, is that a baby? I could bring my baby here. You know, it's like, yes, you can.
See, I love that, because actually I noticed on your Instagram you were bringing her out and about. And I was like, that actually, you saying, like, people respond to that. I realized I could do the same. Yeah, I think watching you do that actually was great inspiration for me to know that actually life can continue on and you can still work in this industry and still be kind of out here and about. Seeing is believing, especially when you're a new mum and a first time mum. I think there's something about not necessarily following or knowing that many people in your social circle or having people in your social circle, but peers in entertainment or peers, people that you look up to or follow or admire, they can help you realize so much about your own worldview because you're following them for a reason, right? Like there's something you like or something that you see in them that you'd like for yourself.
Yeah.
And you're one of those people for me as mum. Like I was like, oh, this is great mum content because it's inspirational. Yeah. It's great. and it's nice to know that actually you've had like a lovely response to that and not people being like, why is she doing that? Because you see those comments too, not necessarily like from your content, but people are judgy when it comes to parenting.
Oh, and they're so judgy.
Yeah. There's always an opinion.
The positive outweighs it. I was at Six Music Festival with her and Six Music asked if they could post a picture of us. Everyone was like, oh, so cool. You know, she's like, it's coolest baby. She gets to go everywhere. And then there was that one comment like, oh my God, overstimulation much. And then someone was like, shut up. Like everyone else was like, sort of chiming in like, shut up. Or there had to be one negative comment. Like there's always going to be, yeah, something. But yeah, just block it. Block
yeah,
it
out. That's good advice. What are you working on getting better at right now? Or what are you working on improving for yourself right now?
There's a couple of things that I'm wanting to be better at. But I always come back to it. I mean, it's the broadcasting. Like for me, I always want to be a better broadcaster. I could always be better. There's always little things that I could tighten or not get complacent with. So that kind of is always, I'm always listening back, especially with the Six Music show. More so now I'm like listening back and actually like trying to get back to like thinking about what I want to say. Why do I want to say that? How do I want to execute that? And not being lazy with it. So there's that. And I'm always trying to perfect the perfect DJ set. And again, like, yeah, not always winging it. Like I think winging it's great sometimes, but sometimes, like, you know, I'm going into festival season and I want to know what is going to make you dance the most. Like, how can I be me? A sprinkle of what you need as well, what you want.
Yeah.
Whilst retaining my authenticity, but also take you on a journey. So I've got an hour and a half to do that. You know, how am I going to pack it all in and make it feel impactful? And that's kind of what I'm thinking about and focusing on right now.
What does that even look like? Because I mean, there's one, no such thing as perfect, and what makes me dance, this is what makes you dance.
Exactly. And it's trial and error. I think I just got to do it. I'm going to have to get out there. Like I'm, you know, I'm working on a set that's happening for the weekend, and all I can do is take it gig by gig and set by set. And by the end of the season, the end of the run, I'll hopefully will have nailed it. So yeah, they're the things that I'm sort of focused on and trying to get better at. They're the things that I do all the time, but they're the things that I'm always thinking that could be tweaked, that could be tweaked. But you know, you mentioned before, like about the TV stuff.
Yeah.
And like how I was kind of trying to like navigate into that world. So I think it's just laying the small foundations for the next year. Like I'm already thinking about like 2023, 2024, like where does that sit? Where does that live? How would that work? So like plotting those conversations and like trying to get back to like networking as well, yeah. Like having meetings and being in front of people and saying, hi, I do this, or, you know, hi, you know, like kind of being hungry again.
Yeah.
And I do think the kick of that is from having the baby. I feel hungry again. I feel ambitious again.
Yes, that no one ever talks about that. Or I've not heard many people talk about that. Mm. But that is such a real sensation of, I think it ties neatly back to those three things that I definitely wrote down as feed myself, raise my profile, and feed my bank. Like suddenly everything becomes so much more important. Your time becomes so much more important because it's time you're taking away from or potentially taking away from your, like looking after your kid, and they're cute and adorable and designed to be stayed with in some ways.
Exactly.
So actually like that driving that hunger of every moment counts. And actually I want everything I do to be impactful because that's what they're going to grow up and see. Is that what you're experiencing when you think of your that hunger? Is that what's driving it? Or is it actually a little bit of something else?
I think you hit the nail on the head. It is that. But I think as well, I kind of maybe emerging as a new being and want maybe something that would maybe different things, you know, that the path has sort of changed again.
Yeah.
And I'm into it.
Nice. I love that. Final question. What is the best advice you've ever received and the worst advice you've ever received?
I mean, the worst advice that I ever received would probably have been from when I was like starting out in radio. They always say like you should be careful who you tell your dreams to, and I don't believe that because I think saying it out loud is what makes it feel more real. But you have to be prepared for the people that will try and dull your dreams. When people will be like, what do you want to do? And be like, I want to get into radio, I want to be a presenter, I want to do this in music. Well, that's really hard though, isn't it? Like yeah, it's a really hard thing to do. So like ignoring that, or someone told me that I didn't have a voice for radio.
What does that even mean?
I don't know. There was no advice to give. It was just a statement that I didn't have a voice for radio, but so-and-so does. And this was the station manager, you know? So I was like, okay.
Oh no.
I can't change my voice. So I had to like park it. It's like, well, if I can't change it, I can't do nothing about it. And when I was working in production at BBC Radio 1 Extra, someone said to me, like, just not sure that it's going to happen for you. It doesn't really happen that like that you can go from production to presenting anymore. Probably Annie Mac and Nick Bright were the last people that would happen for. So yeah, I just don't really see it happening for you. And if I'd have taken that, then like, yeah, I would never have gotten to where I am. Yeah, you get a lot of people that will try, because they weren't brave enough to do it themselves.
Yeah.
That's how I see it. And maybe they don't even want it, but in my head, I turned them into, I'm become Michael Jordan. And then I was like, and then you became my enemy, you know? And now you are my nemesis and I will destroy you. Like literally, and maybe they didn't even mean it like that. Like I've literally just taken it and I'm like, I will show you. And then the best advice is that I've been given, and I always remember this, is actually like, you know, whatever it is, do the task at hand well. Like we can be as ambitious as we want. We can want the next thing, the next thing, the next thing, but do what you're doing right now really well and make sure that you deliver on that. And then the opportunities will arise for you to give them your time or for you to give them your advice. And in terms of like all advice as well, like general, take what you need and leave the rest.
Amen. That is very true. If it doesn't resonate, just don't take it. And
yeah, exactly. It's not yours. It's not for you. It's not your bag. It's fine. Yeah,
exactly. Thank you so much. This was phenomenal. I feel like I learned a lot, but it was also just really nice to meet you and connect and just have this moment. So thank you so much.
Yeah, lovely to chat. And it's just so nice to meet other moms who are bossing it.
Gems has such great energy. Can we talk about that gem she dropped so casually about how she decides where to put her energy? Here's a reminder. It needs to feed my soul, raise my profile, or feed my bank account. That is a bar. It was so refreshing to hear how she's balancing motherhood with her work. It's actually wild how similar we are in that respect, actually. I highly recommend following Jams on Twitter and Instagram at JamSupernova. That's JamSupernova. And that's a wrap. Thank you so much for listening. I hope this half an hour has made you think, reflect, and contemplate what your next step should be. If you'd like to share it with me, please do over at Content is Queen HQ on Instagram or at Content is QN on Twitter. We'd love to know what steps and actions you're taking from these episodes. I'd like to encourage you to think about one person who would benefit from the messages shared today. And I'd love for you to share this episode with them right now. If you'd like to keep up with the latest episode releases, do follow Wannabe on your favorite podcast player and follow us on Instagram as well at Content is Queen HQ. Until next time, bye. This is a Content is Queen production, hosted and produced by me, Imrion Morgan. Editing and sound design by Joseph Perry. Music and sound effects are from Epidemic Sound.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.